Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder has the day off. Krista McQuarrie is in studio with me of the Chicago Tribune to talk about last night's Democratic town hall. I was just telling you off air, my wife and I watched it, and one of my daughters, Kylie, is 19 years old and watched it start to finish. There's no way in the world when I was 19 I would have sat through 2 hours of that.
Right. I mean, obviously you raised a brilliant child.
Two of them, but they get that from my wife. None of that comes from me.
Yeah.
That's all from my wife's side. The Republicans do not do a version of this, correct?
I don't think so. I don't know that they do this every 4 years where they have the town hall set up and they just have one person interviewing the candidate. But I liked it. It was more intimate. I feel you got to know the candidates a little better. You got them to pin down answers mm-hmm. a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. And they weren't they weren't on stage at the same time.
Right.
So there wasn't any fighting necessarily, you know, that takes up time between the candidates.
Not only wasn't there any fighting, but they seem incredibly civil toward each other. There was one point where they showed Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders' newest campaign ad, and you have Simon and Garfunkel singing the song America, and they show a very diverse group of people all supporting Bernie Sanders. And then they asked her the question, what'd you think of that? And she said, I thought that was great.
Right.
Would that have played out that way? It had been the other side?
Well, it's interesting because they are in just the same tightness of a race that Ted Cruz and
Marco Rubio?
That Ted Cruz and Trump
are
on the Republican
side.
And they're starting to get nasty. They're starting to get personal. You really haven't seen that. I think the most damning thing, which I don't really think is all that damning, that Bernie Sanders said about Hillary Clinton last night was bringing up her voting for the Iraq War.
Right.
But,
which she admitted was a mistake.
Which she did. But, I mean, the country was really behind that vote at the time with the information that we had. So, you know, I don't think he's gone after her as much as he could on the Benghazi, on the emails. I mean, there are rumors. Tom DeLay was out this morning talking about FBI sources saying that she's close to an indictment.
Yeah.
But he's chilled out on that, which I thought was interesting.
There was a moment, and for people who didn't see it, the structure was Chris Cuomo, who was the moderator of the evening, would talk to them a little bit one-on-one, and then he'd open it up to questions for the people who were there in Iowa. One of the questions that went Hillary Clinton's way was from a young guy who said, people tell me that you're dishonest, and then he asked another question that wasn't really that connected to that statement about her being dishonest, and you saw her face kind of grimace for just a second.
Right.
She didn't address that part of it. She didn't address the part where he said that people are telling him she's dishonest. Was that a good move or not a good move to not address that?
You know, I mean, he was referring in large part to Benghazi and the emails, and she really did not address that. What she said was that she's been in public life for so long that, you know, she's been a change maker, and when you are in the public eye for that amount of time, you're going to have some negative publicity. But I didn't think it was a good answer. I don't think a lot of her answers are very good. I don't know. You know, Bernie, to me, is a little crazy, and I do think, you know, the common sense, salt-of-the-earth voters of Iowa realize that we can't really have health care for all and free college. We can't expand Social Security. We can't even afford Social Security as it stands now. It's going to go bankrupt in about 15 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think Bernie did as well last night with this core voter. I think Hillary did better.
But isn't there a moment where, no matter who the candidate is, and since you brought up Bernie Sanders, let's go with that, he's explaining how the healthcare system would change. And he said there's going to be a tax increase. I think he said roughly $5,000 per household. Was that about right? So he was explaining the structure of it all. And if you're listening, you're saying to yourself, I guess that could work, but can it work? It can't work.
No. This Medicare for All is pie in the sky. Some numbers. I mean, it would cost $1.38 trillion, and he would pay for it by raising marginal income tax rates. And a lot of people say, great, the wealthy should be paying more. But you know what? The wealthy already are. The tax rate currently, it goes up to 52% of those who make more than $10 million. Now, I know if you're making $10 million, you're doing fine, but they're already giving more than half of their income to the federal government.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's an appetite anymore for big government. And that was a question Bernie got that he kind of stumbled around.
Yeah.
That's what he's running on.
How about, though, when they pull out stats like we're the only major country, and I don't know how you define major countries, but they, for the purpose of argument, that's what they said last night. We're the only major country globally that doesn't have this sort of health care where we don't take care of people. That's disturbing. Why can they do that in other countries? We can't figure it out.
Well, we sort of have with Obamacare, but we also have the best health care in the country. The problem is, even with Obamacare, when the money runs out, like states like Illinois that have enrolled all of these people into Obamacare, I think Illinois has enrolled 1.8 million people.
Yeah.
The federal government is going to stop giving us money to fund that program in 2019.
Which is coming very fast.
And we're broke.
Right.
We're already it's basically Medicaid. These people are being enrolled on Medicaid. We're, you know, $2 to $3 billion behind in what we owe hospitals currently for
right.
Medicaid.
How about this? This came up a couple of times last night, and it connects to what we were just talking about. They bring up the fact that pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies are making insane amounts of money off of us. And I've heard candidates in the past talk about that and how that needs to be fixed and reformed. It doesn't seem to get done, does it?
No.
Do they really change it ever?
No. And that is where Bernie is on fire. That's where people really resonate with him when he talks about, you know, the insurance companies, corporations not paying their fair share. There was a pharmaceutical company recently that was charging, I want to say, $500 per tablet for this medication. I don't even remember what it was treating. The owner of that company was indicted
for that's Martin.
Yes.
I can't say his name, but yeah, I know that story, sure.
So the market, in a way, does take care of that when you have more competition. But Bernie Sanders is correct and he really hits a nerve with the American public when he talks about the pharmaceutical companies, the income gap, income inequality, and that's why he's doing so well.
Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. We're talking about the town hall last night from the Democratic side. You had a different stance from Bernie Sanders. He opened. Each of the candidates got roughly 40 minutes to show their points. Bernie Sanders chose to sit. The other two, especially Martin O'Malley, as soon as the questioning started, he stood up very briskly and took his jacket off and dove in. Is that the better play, to be up and active and moving around and physical? Is that the better way to express yourself?
I mean, he's certainly the most polished. And I hate to bring this up, but have you ever seen him with his shirt off?
No.
It's
where do you vacation, Kristen? Because I've never seen him with a shirt off.
Okay, it's one of these things that's hit the internet. Just look up, you know, Martin O'Malley shirtless. He works out. He's very physical. So when he gets up.
And Bernie, have you seen Bernie?
You don't want to see that.
No, Bernie actually said last night his wife told him to button up his coat, but he was too fat. So I don't really want to see Bernie with shirtless. But I think with Iowa voters, Martin O'Malley comes off as a little too slick. And, you know, at the end, he was kind of pleading with them, my whole candidacy is in your hands.
Yeah, right.
Do with it what you will.
Right.
And it is. I mean, he's pretty much dead in the water unless he becomes one of these surprise candidates. But I just don't see it. He doesn't strike me as being authentic.
It's so strange because you would think if everything was equal in the world that you'd want a guy that's that slick and that polished because he's going to represent the country. But I keep hearing people say that same thing. He's too slick. He's too polished.
I think Trump has kind of changed the whole game, and people are looking for genuine. And Bernie Sanders is the Trump on the Democrat side.
Yeah, I guess he is.
He is who he is. He speaks his mind, and he's not so messaged like Hillary is and was last night. You know, you get her to laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
She does have a sense of humor, but most of the time she's just TikToking. I flew here. I did this. You know, it was very heavy on foreign policy last night, which was good. But she's just, to me, you know, she's been in the game too long, and she has no spark.
Yeah. I'm sure you've noticed this. In the early days when Bernie Sanders first became known nationally, every time you saw him, his hair was extremely disheveled and messed up. And now it's not as neat as you've ever seen, but it's a lot neater. Somebody's taking care of him. Somebody found him some Alberta VO5, I think.
Where did you?
I don't know.
You're definitely like a child of the 70s.
Yeah, I am.
To pull
yeah.
that one out.
Yeah.
He's less rumpled, disheveled. His suit is not so crumpled
right.
anymore.
Somebody's pressing him.
But he still, you know, he still has like that static look to his hair sometimes.
Yeah.
So he hasn't, you know, completely lost it. He's 73.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And they mentioned last night that if everything goes according to plan, he would be the oldest sitting president in office, which I know makes some people nervous. Like I said, my daughter was watching with me. She goes, oh, that's too old to be a president.
Right.
Is it? I don't know.
I mean, Trump is 68, you know, he's kind of right behind him. He does come across sometimes, I think the campaign is wearing on him and it's showing. Last night he was really hoarse.
Yeah.
And so he just, he did seem kind of like
it's
that.
It's grueling.
It is.
I don't know how it doesn't take stuff out of you. And it gets harder and harder. I mean, when they get to Super Tuesday, those guys really, they have to be dynamos to survive that.
Yeah. They're all usually sick. They need a haircut. They've been sleeping on couches.
It's like watching Survivor.
It's so hard for us to sit and watch on our couches.
I know.
But somebody was one of the reporters who was pre-gaming the debate talked about how Trump preps. And he sits on his fancy airplane with this desk that has, you know, lined with 14-karat gold. And he gets out a piece of paper and a pen. And he just writes down maybe 5 or 6 words that he wants to touch on when he goes into whatever event he's going into. And that hasn't changed since the beginning of his campaign,
really?
Which I thought was interesting. Now that he's up in the polls, I mean, I think he's going to win in Iowa.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the message makers would come in and he would have, you know, people toning him down a little bit.
But no.
Nope.
How about that?
It all comes from him.
All right. If you have a question or a comment, like I said, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left. Wendy has a day off. Kristen McQuarrie joining me from the Chicago Tribune talking about last night's town hall. More after this. It's WGN. All right, so last night, the Democratic town hall in Iowa, all three candidates showing what they've got. We've got some phone calls. Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune is here to discuss it with us. Let's start out with you, Sandy. How are you?
Hi, fine. How are you?
Excellent.
Love listening to WGN. 2 points that Kristen made that I'd like to address.
Sure.
Number one, and this has been bothering me since the beginning, whether you're Republican or Democrat, irrelevant. But the fact that she compared Trump to Bernie Sanders, I understand the intention. She meant they are both coming off as genuine and appealing to a certain segment. But Bernie Sanders is a practice legislator. He knows the facts. Donald Trump is an entertainer. He does not espouse facts. He espouses xenophobia. And the press does not hold him to that standard. So once the press starts, if they ever start holding Donald Trump to the truth, I think it would be a much quicker dissipation. But they don't seem to want to. They want to play it for all the entertainment benefit, and it's maddening.
Kristen, so, hold on for just a second, Sandy. I can't speak for you, certainly, but I think you compared them in the loose cannon category. Is that where the comparison is?
No, I understand where she was coming from because she's talking about them both being genuine, and I get that. But the fact of the matter is, besides their personality, what Bernie Sanders talks about is truth. He has facts at his fingertips. Donald Trump has nothing but a big mouth and an entertainment value, which I get. But the press is not holding him to the truth. And so you have him disseminating lies, distortions, hate, and an icky part of the population is feeding into that.
All right, Sandy, hold on just a second. Kristen, go ahead. Did you want to address that?
No, I agree with you that Bernie Sanders actually is policy-oriented. I mean, he is talking about policy. He has specific numbers for his plans.
Sure.
Donald Trump bloviates. There's no question about that. But the idea that the press has been easy on Donald Trump, I think, is not true at all. You've seen conservative publications in particular who hold a lot of sway over Republican primary voters coming down hard on Donald Trump and calling, you know, pointing out that he's not a true conservative. He's not a small government, traditional conservative candidate, and they are trying to push Ted Cruz as a better alternative.
You know, I understand that, and I saw the front page of the National Review, but the fact is that people, the population at large, they don't read things like that. And I do believe that Donald Trump is and we've all met, he's been around for a long time, so everybody knows his name, is a perfect example of a candidate. It's almost like a TV show. A perfect example of a candidate who is, it's almost like he's trying to be as crazy as possible because he never really wanted to.
Several people have said that, Sandy. Wait.
I do believe, Kristen, I do believe that it is part of the press's fault. I do believe it, because from the beginning, they have never, not in a big way. They're appealing to ratings and numbers and entertainment, and this is serious. And this is a blow to democracy, to be perfectly honest.
Is it a blow to democracy?
I don't think so. I mean, I think even if you don't read National Review online, you have had ample opportunity to watch many debates, to read all kinds of coverage. I don't think the mainstream media has been light on Donald Trump. I think they try to fact check him as often as they can. But, you know, then he just his modus operandi is just then to lash out. He's in a fight again with Megyn Kelly
right.
and Fox because they have a debate coming up.
Right.
You know, Kristen, there's not another candidate I can ever remember where you have media almost rolling their eyes, right? I mean, they're almost like, oh, look at this again.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the media is on board with Trump in any sense of
Kristen, you see the same things that Steve and I see. We pour through stories every morning, things to talk about on the show, and the percentage of them, you know, bashing Trump from every direction for every possible reason, I've never seen anything like it. And yet, even with all that going on, his popularity just continues to rise.
Well, he's also made the mainstream media a target.
You
know, we are part of the establishment, and so the public eats that up. They love it. I mean, when he gets beaten up, he gets more popular. And at this point, you can't discount him anymore. You can't. He is leading everywhere. He's probably going to win Iowa.
Yeah.
He might be the nominee.
Here's a question that nobody seems to ask, and I don't know why. 4 years ago, one of the biggest knocks on Mitt Romney was that he was a rich guy who was out of touch with most of America. How could a guy like that with all that money understand what our problems are? Now you got Donald Trump, a much, much richer guy. You would think that would be the knock on him, but it doesn't seem to be.
No, and I think that is all in personality. You know, people view Donald Trump as more of a self-made billionaire, even though his dad did help him out and, you know, he got a start in real estate.
Sure.
But they consider him to be more self-made, and he's bold. I mean, Mitt Romney was like a little kitten every time you tried to. He was the example that Republican voters are tired of. People who are measured, afraid to speak. Every word has been poll tested, and they're tired of that.
Yeah. The big day in Iowa is a week from today. Will there be any surprises?
I don't think so. I think, I just saw a poll that evangelical voters are starting to lean for Trump.
Are they?
And that's really bad news for Ted Cruz. So I think it's going to be Trump and Hillary, and I think we'll know probably by 10 or 11 p.m.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you. Appreciate you being
here.
It's Kristen McQuarrie from the Tribune Reader. Whenever you can, we'll take a quick break. Then Steve with the news. It's Bill Leff on WGN.